Republicans are facing another political headache, all in the wake of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, this time involving in vitro fertilization procedures. This could spell disaster for the party heading into the 2024 election. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at whether the Alabama Supreme Court ruling has anything to do with a woman's right to an abortion and why this has become a potentially damaging issue with the Republican Party and the female vote. Let's get started. It's a presidential election year, which means every daily headline has a good chance of becoming a political weapon used by one party to try and land devastating blows in the public relations boxing ring. Now, this latest could not have been more perfectly written by the Democrats and comes from the very red state of Alabama. After the state Supreme Court ruled frozen embryos are legally children and the destruction of embryos constitutes a crime under the state's wrongful death of a minor law, a statute which dates back to 1872 and a part of the anti-abortion language in the state constitution. Now, the backstory in this case is very important, even though it's often conveniently left out by the mainstream media. The embryos were accidentally destroyed when a patient wandered into the cryogenic nursery where frozen embryos were stored. Now, through an unsecured door, this patient was able to enter the lab and remove several trays of embryos, but suffered freeze burn to the hand from the cold liquid nitrogen and dropped those embryos on the ground, destroying them. Three families joined together to sue, but their case went all the way up to the Alabama Supreme Court following a series of losses in the state's lower courts. Now, following this ruling, the University of Alabama at Birmingham, their health system, announced it was halting its IVF procedures immediately over fear of lawsuits and prosecutions. Now, it's the largest hospital in the state and the eighth largest in the nation. Now, other healthcare providers in Alabama are likely and also did follow suit. Democrats are doing everything they can to take this all to the presidential campaign trail and use it as a weapon against Republican candidates who are running for office. And this starts at the top of the ticket. But GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump first spoke about it during a rally in South Carolina.
We want to make it easier for mothers and fathers to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America.
Now, Justice Jay Mitchell wrote in his opinion, these type of policy-focused arguments belong before the legislature, not this court. It is not the role of the court to craft a new limitation based on our own view of what is or is not wise public policy. Now, in response to the significant backlash, lawmakers in both chambers of the Alabama legislature have filed and passed bills to clarify the state law related to embryos created via IVF. The governor has signed those into law. But has the damage already been done to Republicans? Well, I want to discuss with our panel. Let's bring them in. Steve Abramowitz from the Mill Creek podcast and Desi K. Robinson, who's a doctoral student in health education and behavioral studies at Teachers College for Columbia University. She's also a professor and birth postpartum doula. Welcome the both of you to the show. I appreciate you coming in.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hi, Scotty. Great to be here.
Thank you. Desi, I want to start with you first. Do you think it's understandable for IVF clinics to halt their work because of this Alabama Supreme Court ruling?
Well, I think they shouldn't be halting their work, but I do think that if they want to protect themselves and not face criminal charges, you know, they do need to sort of assess what's going on with the law before they service any clients.
Well, Steve, here was where my confusion kind of was, because somehow this has been turned into an abortion issue, not necessarily a protection of fertility rights issues. So is there not a difference between fertility clinics, which are in the business of making babies, and how was this pulled into the Roe versus Wade and abortion clinics, which are in place to terminate those pregnancies?
Yeah, it's an unforced error by the Republicans. The speaker, Mike Johnson, was on CBS, and he was given a very easy question. If you believe life begins at conception, is IVF murder? Dun, dun, dun. And of course, he comes back and says, it's something we have to grapple with. What is lost in the hyperbole and all the huffing and puffing with that is that this bill, in this law in Alabama, goes back to 1872, before there was such thing as IVF, called the Wrongful Death of a Minor Act. And so now all of a sudden, national Democrats in D.C. are saying, that's the exact same thing as Roe versus Wade, and we need to make sure that babies are not allowed to not be killed. And so it's crazy. Only Alabama and Tennessee are even dealing with this right now. And yes, it happens to be an election year, so I don't blame anybody for doing this. That's what politics is. But man, is it blown out of proportion.
And that's my question, because, Desi, what I'm worried about is IVF and a lot of fertility treatments, because it is such a sensitive issue, doesn't have very much protection. There's not many laws or regulations to monitor what is going on in these facilities. Why isn't anyone talking about how this all started and kind of the lack of security or protocols around IVF and the protection of the embryos that are produced?
Yeah, I think that it's... I think people get frustrated when we start conflating things. I think particularly during an election year, people will take pieces and snippets of conversations that really further their agenda. I do think it is part of the same conversation when we talk about reproductive rights. So I do want to say first that I think when people talk about reproductive rights and they talk about abortion, the narrative is always that people want to have abortions and that people are being forced to have abortions. And that's not what reproductive rights is about. It's about choice. Choice to either be a parent or not be a parent. So I think it's really important that we're not making it this sort of bifurcated conversation about, you know, people wanting to have abortions. Reproductive rights is about the ability to have the choice, the resources to be able to safely bring babies to term or to terminate pregnancies for whatever reason the person who would be giving birth has. Now, in terms of security, I think it's absolutely necessary to secure medical facilities that are in the process of creating life for people who really want to have children. And so, you know, oftentimes it isn't until we have incidents like the one we had where this person went in and wandered in and harmed, you know, this process, this facility, that laws even come into play. So, you know, fortunately, we now are able to have a conversation about how to secure embryos and facilities that are housing them so that people who truly want to have children can do that in a way that is uninterrupted.
Well, to Desi's point, though, Steve, in Alabama, the law that was passed and what the governor actually signed into law has nothing to do with actually putting in security into these facilities. Basically, it just says that the clinics will not be prosecuted for any sort of crime based on what they're doing. Have we already missed the conversation? Have we already missed this opportunity?
Well, no, because it's one state and they obviously are very confused and are scrambling to change it. But what we're actually having is a very interesting conversation about personhood and what, chicken before the egg, right? Is a unfertilized egg sitting in storage that's frozen, that's there for the in vitro fertilization couple to be able to come back and get some more of their own eggs if they wanted to do that, or sift through genetically the ones that are flawed and then destroy them, is that killing a child? Is that murder? And the answer, I don't think, is yes, because even the Supreme Court has said that an egg and a sperm are not a child or a person until they become fertilized. And then we start talking about, is it conception? Is it 3 months into viability? Is it, you know, God forbid, death after the baby has been born, and all that abortion talk that we dealt with. But in Tennessee, where I am, we have the strictest laws against abortion in the country. And the answer is no on any of that. And even they don't believe that the egg itself, otherwise every time a woman goes through their menstrual cycle, they'd be committing murder, right? Or, you know,
correct.
But it clearly is an extraordinary determination that in vitro 8-cell microscopic embryos are now considered people until they figure that out and say, no, fertilized eggs are people at conception. But it's been part of this longstanding, when does life begin? At conception, and now this is even before that. There you have it.
Well, Desi, you actually, as being a doula, you deliver babies every single day. So I know that you obviously, your career is based on protecting life and producing life. When you look at this, when you see this, do you feel like that there should be more of a separation between the two issues and what's being done? Or as other states considering shutting down their IVF clinics and research without state, because their states don't have laws, is that being a little dramatic?
I think that, you know, as Steve said, I think where it really comes around the idea of personhood. And I think that we will, until I guess science comes to some definitive answer. I mean, science actually has. It's not a person until these are fertilized. But I do think that the conversation continues to be around choice and whether or not people want to bring babies to term. I do think that any facility that is assisting people with having children should be protected. There should be absolute laws that protect facilities. And I think that they should be, that should be in place for any medical facility that is in the process of helping people, whether they want to have children or not, and whether it's a clinic that performs abortions or whether it's a facility that is in the process of, you know, helping people fertilize eggs. And so, you know, we can have that conversation. We can have the conversation about personhood. You know, these are frozen embryos. If they're people, we wouldn't freeze people.
Well, that's the thing. There's thousands of laws already on the books right now. You would think that there would have been something in the sector. There hasn't. And unfortunately, I think with this being politics, we've already moved it over to the fact that we might not actually get accurate laws. Thank you, Steve and Desi, for this discussion. And we're going to continue it because after the break, our discussion is going to focus on the political weaponization of this Alabama Supreme Court ruling and what it means for the campaign trail. Welcome back. You know, the last thing Republicans want to talk about this year is anything which has to do with abortion, as they feel it deters female voters. But now, because of this ruling in Alabama, this has been a major ongoing headline in almost every media outlet, with very little pushback from even the conservative news outlets. So is silence really the best policy? Well, let us ask our panel, Steve Abramowitz from the Mill Creek Podcast and Desi K. Robinson, health professor, doula, and media analyst. Thank you so much for joining me on this. You know, this was happened in Alabama. Almost immediately when the problem arose, the Republican House and Senate, the state legislature, passed a bill, and it was almost signed immediately by the governor, the Republican governor, Kay Ivey. I mean, that was the quickest I've ever seen anything move in politics, mainly, I think, because Republicans realized this is a problem if they did not take care of it immediately. So I'm going to start with you on this, Steve. What role do you think partisan politics is playing in all of this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are all very afraid of what you just said, getting those headlines that say, oh my gosh, here we are, here we go again. But, you know, at the trial court where you described the person dropping all the eggs on the ground, it was determined that the trial judge said that embryos that exist in vitro are not people or children for the purpose of the wrongful death of a minor act, and therefore there was no claim that the couple could bring under that act. Well, they appealed that, the decision to the state Supreme Court, the highest in the state. They disagreed, and in a nutshell said that the wrongful death of a minor act does apply. And here's a quote from it: to all unborn children without limitation, and that includes unborn children who are not located in utero at the time they are killed. Sounds like the judges kind of didn't pay close attention. And then, of course, they got God into it. We believe that each human being from the moment of conception is made in the image of God, created by him to reflect his likeness. It is a, if the people of Alabama took that, what was spoken of the prophet Jeremiah, and applied it to every unborn person in the state, carving out an exception for the people in this case, small as they were, would be unacceptable to the people of the state who have required us to treat every human being in accordance with the fear of a holy God who make them in his image. Well, that played right into the press's war on Christian nationalism, and here you go. National news around the world within a heartbeat.
Absolutely. I think the judge did not actually help the case. Obviously, he's a very religious man. He felt like he was doing this. He's obviously very pro-life. In Alabama, you can be pro-life and sit on the bench. But the fact that he went that far probably actually did not help the argument for outside of Alabama. Desi, you know, Elizabeth Warren actually tweeted this out. She kind of put it all together. Republicans' opposition to IVF is terrifying. It makes me furious, but it shouldn't surprise anyone. They're also coming for medication abortion and birth control and even prenatal care. But make no mistake, we will fight them every step of the way. Here's the thing. Is this really true about Republicans? Are Republicans anti-IVF? Are they anti-fertility? Are they anti even, you know, any of the prescription, the preventative medicines? Or is this just a great example of an opportune moment and gaslighting everything?
I think that this is a larger conversation about reproductive rights. And so I think that there are many things that are inclusive of reproductive rights. But, you know, are Republicans against IVF? I don't know. I think that there are many people who are speaking on, you know, behalf of it. I just saw, you know, an interview with Tuberville, and he had no idea what was, you know, what it was. Yeah, we need more children. But it's like, well, IVF is the, you know, the process of trying to have children. And he wasn't even clear on what it is. And I think that, unfortunately, we have a lot of people in power, mostly men, mostly cisgendered, white, hetero men, who are making decisions about fertility, about birth. And I'm not saying that they should not, but I am saying that there are a lot of people who are not informed about the full breadth and scope of reproduction, and they need to be more informed about what it is. And so if you don't make informed decisions, then you have a lot of this fallout.
Well, and I think a lot of people are very confused. Unless you've actually gone through it or had somebody close to you that's gone through the process of this or any other fertility treatment, they don't necessarily understand what is involved in this. Because, Steve, prior to this ruling, I think Democrats didn't even mention IVF. It was nothing that you ever saw in their talking points. Now it's their number one. And it's basically in regards to the Supreme Court reversing Roe versus Wade. And it triggers right into abortion. Why is this? And once again, is it really fair to the actual people that are having to deal with the subject and the situation that the politicians have made this such a hot button issue for them to debate?
Oh, yeah. I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court would agree that frozen embryos enjoy the same rights as children do. You know, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is a devout Christian. He's from Louisiana, as is Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. Trump was the first president to attend the March for Life and supported by Students for Life, and they held him to his promise to overturn Roe, and he put three judges up there that actually did it with Clarence Thomas and Alito. And Thomas has been there for this long time, and you know, Biden did try to prevent that, so it's going to always be an issue. But bottom line is, Trump said just today, IVF is important, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life, which is obviously having children. So I think when everybody cools down and realizes IVF is not abortion, it is not killing the unborn or the innocent children that Planned Parenthood has been known to do for all these many years, or that Margaret Sanger was a big proponent of, et cetera, will calm down and say, wait a minute, this is actually pro-life. We are using a scientifically proven method of creating children, not destroying them. And if the eggs fall on the ground or are frozen or destroyed after not use, that isn't murder. No one's going to jail for that.
Desi, when you watch these politicians make comments like what you're seeing, what does that say to you as a female? Do you actually, as a woman, like I said, your career is a part of it, do you feel almost like you're being used, or that the future of these babies, whether they're born or not, are being used basically to promote a political candidate?
I do think so. I think that, you know, anyone who, or any entity that sits within a marginalized space, whether you are a person of color or a woman or queer or, you know, wanting to have an abortion or wanting to bring life, I think all of those marginalized entities are brought into political conversations largely for the benefit of currying favor in those communities, tapping into fears. I think it happens on both sides, definitely.
And that's it. Well, Steve, I have to ask you, if you could give your advice right now, you've mentioned, obviously, the House Republican leader. What would be your advice to Republicans right now that are having to handle this issue? A lot of them are choosing just to ignore it, not to say anything, to not get out there and speak on of it. A lot of them are saying, yes, well, I'm pro-life, but not going into details. Are Republicans handling this issue correctly, and what would your advice be?
I don't think they're messaging it correctly, because for some reason, everybody is willing to accept the fact that this is Republican males who are willing to intervene in a woman's right to choose and all this type of thing, when that is not at all what this is. If anything, it's a couple's right to choose to try to have a healthy child that they couldn't otherwise. That's a good thing. We believe in that as Christians and Republicans and Americans and people who believe in life. So they actually own the issue. But it's so messaged incorrectly, because I told you that 1875 law in Alabama screwed this all up. In Alabama, they introduced their abortion ban in 2019. That was before Dobbs, and it wasn't coming into force because it was unconstitutional at the time. But as soon as that did trigger, same as Tennessee, where we have the strictest anti-abortion laws in the country, we've also said IVF doesn't apply to this, and our attorney general has said it. There was an amendment I was on the table that just got voted down in a subcommittee yesterday that basically tried to add medications and treatments and products to this. And we basically said it's not necessary because IVF is not on the table. We're not banning that. This is not a thing. So it's in the political arena. It's an election year. It's going to be a crazy us versus them, men versus women, everybody versus everybody election, I think, I'm sad to say. And this is just the first round in that battle, and they did not have good news on the left. And so this is their opportunity to start scaring women to believe those Republicans are coming for your children.
On that note, Desi, you know, we talk about right now what's going on with children and the idea of whether it's personhood is actually beginning an embryo stage, or if it's actually after it's been fertilized. That's the conversation we're having. You point out science has said it does not begin at that embryo stage. But what would you say to those parents right now? A lot of them that might have already had their embryos in storage or were thinking of doing IVF, should they be worried right now? Should they be concerned? And does it also depend on what state you live in?
I think it depends on what state you live in. I think there are legal and emotional and moral things coming into play here. I do think that if a couple is interested, whether that couple is hetero or queer, it doesn't matter. If they're interested in having children and they've lost that opportunity because of some negligence, I do think that they have a case for negligence, definitely. But again, this comes around choice. I do think that when we are in this political space, many things get conflated. I don't believe that there is clarity, one, on when life begins, or I don't think there is clarity on, you know, what camp people are sitting in. I think that because abortion and choice have been so on attack, I think that anytime we talk about reproduction in any phase, it is a hot button issue, and either side is going to use whatever the conversation is to parse out some certain pieces that will further their agenda.
Well, it's definitely an agenda that's going to continue the discussion. I want to thank you so much for joining me, Desi K. Robinson and Steve Abramowitz from Mill Creek. I appreciate both of your intellect. You know, sometimes I despise election years, because when a problem in America becomes a political weapon, it means there's going to be a politician who gains something, while the person or group most affected continues to be at a loss. Now, fertility is a very, very, very sensitive issue, and one that great scientific advances have been made. However, to a certain extent, the scientific advances have allowed mankind, in some cases, to play God. Now, this can also come with a risk which can produce the reward of life for parents who might not have thought that was even possible. But when laws and regulations are not put in place to minimize the potential risk of something going wrong, or in this case, the actual loss of life and opportunity for life, for three sets of very hopeful parents, then the ability to recreate an act only done by the divine is destroyed by human error. This is the conversation we should be having in America. But sadly, because of the current state of politics today, The concept of creating the opportunity for life is being completely corrupted by being allowed to be intertwined with the ability to end life. Now, I'm going to admit, I was wrong, because I never thought I would see Roe versus Wade be reversed in America. And the decision on when a woman could have an abortion in each state was going to be left up to the individual state legislators to decide. The initial outcome of Roe versus Wade was such an iconic pillar of the left's pro-choice argument. Never did I think they would be able to find a court packed with judges willing to reverse it. Donald J. Trump, he continues to say the Supreme Court of the United States decision was the top achievement of his presidency, and those on the right overwhelmingly agree. However, Republicans continue to play into the Democrats' hands and allow the issue of fertility and abortion rights to merge. They are not only sabotaging their chances of attracting independent female voters in this upcoming November election, but also allowing a disservice to those families depending on continued advancements in fertility treatment to help them conceive a child in the future. I'm Skye Nell Hughes. Thank you for watching the 360 View.